The World This Week. Politics.
Vladimir Putin visited North Korea. The Russian president was given an elaborate welcome before holding talks with Kim Jong-un, the Asian country's dictator. The pair have strengthened their alliance during the war in Ukraine, with North Korea providing Russia with weapons. The West fears that, in return, Russia is helping North Korea with its nuclear program. Both leaders signed a mutual defense pact. Mr. Putin then went to Vietnam, where he was also given the full state visit treatment. Thaksin Shinawat, who was deposed as Thailand's prime minister in a coup in 2006 and returned from exile last year, was formally charged with insulting the monarchy. Mr. Thaksin, an influential figure in Thai politics, was granted bail, deferring for now the problematic prospect of sending him to prison. The indictment is one of three politically charged cases that could rock Thai politics. The Constitutional Court has set dates for early July to hear one case that could bring down the Prime Minister, Setar Thawisin, and another that could ban Move Forward, the main opposition party. Meanwhile, Thailand became the first country in Southeast Asia to legalize same-sex marriage after the upper house of parliament overwhelmingly approved the measure. The king now needs to sign the bill, paving the way for gay weddings later this year. A global summit to shore up support for Ukraine in its fight against Russia ended without securing the agreement of the big non-aligned countries. China stayed away from the gathering in Switzerland, and countries such as India, Indonesia, Mexico, Saudi Arabia, and South Africa did not sign the final communique. Jens Stoltenberg, the Secretary General of NATO, said that 23 of the alliance's 32 members would meet a target of spending at least 2% of GDP on defence this year. That is up from just 3 countries in 2014 and 10 in 2023. Mr. Stoltenberg was in Washington to discuss next month's NATO summit, which is expected to reach a deal on providing security assistance and training to Ukraine. Meanwhile, Mark Rutte, the outgoing Dutch Prime Minister, looked set to succeed Mr. Stoltenberg as NATO's leader in October. Jordan Bardella, the president of the hard-right National Rally, or RN, in France, urged voters to hand his party an absolute majority at snap elections called for June 30th and July 7th. Polling shows the RN's parliamentary party, which is led by Marine Le Pen, winning the most seats, but falling short of a majority. Bruno Le Maire, the finance minister, subtly criticised Emmanuel Macron's decision to call the election, saying it had caused worries, incomprehension, sometimes anger among French people. The Israel Defense Forces said that it would hold a daily tactical pause of military activity on a road in the south of Gaza to allow more aid to enter the territory through the Kerem Shalom crossing. Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel's prime minister, denounced the decision. The IDF made it clear that this did not amount to a ceasefire. It said that fighting would continue in Rafah, where 8 soldiers were killed recently. Mr. Netanyahu released a video criticizing the Biden administration for its treatment of Israel during the current war in Gaza. He said that it was inconceivable that America had been withholding weapons and ammunition in recent months. The White House said it did not know what the Prime Minister was talking about, stressing that only one shipment of heavy bombs had been delayed. After the departure of Benny Gantz and Gadi Eisenkot, Mr. Netanyahu dissolved his 6-member war cabinet. Some of the decisions previously made by the war cabinet will now fall to the larger security cabinet, which includes some of Mr. Netanyahu's far-right allies. At least 550 people died during the Hajj, the annual pilgrimage to Mecca in Saudi Arabia, as temperatures in the city hit 51.8 degrees Celsius, that's 125 degrees Fahrenheit. Around 1.8 million Muslims are expected to travel to the site for the pilgrimage this year. A ship that was attacked recently by Houthi insurgents from Yemen sank in the Red Sea, the second vessel that the rebels have sunk since starting their campaign to disrupt shipping last November. One crewman died in the incident. The Houthis used a drone boat packed with explosives. South Africa's two biggest political parties, the African National Congress and the Democratic Alliance, formed a coalition government headed by Cyril Ramaphosa, the president, after the ANC lost its parliamentary majority. The new government, which also includes other smaller parties, agreed to focus on economic growth, cheering investors. MK, the party of Jacob Zuma, a disgraced former ANC president, will join the opposition. The UN Security Council adopted a resolution ordering the Rapid Support Forces, a rebellious Sudanese paramilitary group, to lift its siege of El Fasher in the Darfur region. It also called for a halt in fighting between the RSF and the official Sudanese armed forces. The resolution, which passed after Russia abstained, points to a hardening of international opinion against the RSF, amid concerns that it and allied Arab militias are conducting genocide in Darfur. Joe Biden announced new legal protections for migrants who are in America illegally but married to American citizens. The new system streamlines the process for applying for permanent residency, but applicants must have lived in the United States for at least 10 years. Around 500,000 spouses could potentially benefit in one of the most significant presidential actions on immigration in a decade. Large protests were held in Brazil against a proposed change to the law that would equate abortions after 22 weeks to homicide. Conservatives in Congress support the bill, but critics note that late abortions are often performed on children who were abused by relatives. Abortion is legal in Brazil only in cases of rape, fetal deformation, and when the woman's life is in danger. Ecuador will temporarily suspend visa waivers for Chinese nationals from July 1st, as tens of thousands of migrants travel to the country en route to the United States. Ecuador is one of only two South American countries that grant visa-free travel to Chinese visitors. Suriname is the other. From there, they often head north. The number of Chinese nationals trying to cross the US border has rocketed since 2022.